Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Kingdom? What kingdom? We can imagine, that other criminal said. It was a hopeless scene and a familiar one. Nothing new here, thought most of those standing by, the people and the soldiers, as they watched Jesus suffer and die on the cross. One more troublesome radical was being crucified with other criminals who dared to disturb the supposed peace of the Roman Empire. The Empire imposed this sentence of death on Jesus in order to keep order in this corner of their kingdom. But the criminal who asked that Jesus remember him saw something that the others did not see. He saw hope and salvation in the most unlikely place and circumstance. What allowed this person to see hope, to be open to hope? Had he realized finally in this moment that nothing he could do, nothing the usual kingdoms could do, would save him? He looked at Jesus and knew something, or hoped it could be true. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And in that statement of faith, Jesus affirms that his prayer will be answered. Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. As Christians, what do we see? For what do we ask God? What happens to us when we try to see our world the way God intends it to be? So much is discouraging, but there are glimmers of hope, possibility. In fact, you are God's glimmers of hope in the world. You are the light of Christ shining in the world, through you, in you. During his earthly ministry, Jesus described God's kingdom using examples that often confused people and challenged them to look for grace in the smallest of seeds, the most broken situations, and among the most unlikely people. We call this Sunday Christ the King Sunday, also the Reign of Christ Sunday, and it's called this because he transforms the word king by being our leader, our savior, who does not rule over us nor use force to secure his power, but rather is the servant who suffers for those he loves, open and vulnerable and trusting that in the end all will be well. This is so different from what the prophet Jeremiah, God speaking through the prophet, is pointing out about earthly kings, saying, woe to those shepherds, those leaders, those kings who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. Jesus is unlike this. He is the perfect shepherd and king. In recent years, we've also started to call this Sunday the Reign of Christ Sunday, in part to avoid using the word king, because in our culture and in our history of the world, it's had a lot of negative connotations. Now, we're using it in a totally different way when we use it for Jesus, as I've just been pointing out. But still, being male-specific, it kind of pins us into maybe one image. And this idea of the Reign of Christ, perhaps more importantly, is used to emphasize the relational nature of Christ, that it's all about relationships, that we're all connected, every person in the world, and to creation as well. Christ loves all, sacrifices for all, and brings all together under one reign, one flock to love and care for. And then those of us called to be Christians in this life are sent out to share this reign of peace and justice in the world. In order to do our mission for Christ, to be part of Christ's reign on earth, we often have to stand We often stand in forsaken places and look with the eyes of faith to Christ, as did that criminal on the cross who knew Jesus could save him. On the Bread for the World website, the agency we're supporting today, Bread for the World, we read their sort of tagline there is, "Have faith, end hunger." With recent government cuts to the SNAP food stamp program, it takes faith, because these cuts have removed 10 million meals daily. 10 million meals are gone because of those cuts from the plates of hungry families in the U.S. It requires faith to think that we can end hunger in our own country, let alone the world. But such is the mission of Bread for the World, and such is our mission. On this Christ the King Sunday, the reign of Christ, we are also observing our one Sunday, Stephanie told us about earlier. One Sunday. Holy Comforter became a one congregation in 2007, which means that, among other things, we give a percentage of our financial resources to support the Millennium Development Goals. Being a one congregation joins us with many others, and with a real emphasis in the Episcopal Church, to support these United Nations goals adopted in September 2000, which include eradicating extreme hunger and poverty, achieving universal primary education, promoting gender equality and empowering women, reducing child mortality, improving maternal health, combating HIV, AIDS, malaria, and other diseases, ensuring environmental sustainability, and developing a global partnership for development. Today's offering of money will go to address the first goal of eradicating hunger and poverty by, as I mentioned, supporting Bread for the World. While passing a resolution in 2007 was important for this church to explicitly join for others working for these goals, in fact, Holy Comforter has long been focused on these social justice issues long before 2007. The Millennium Development Goals help us to know what we mean when we pray the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come," the reign of God made visible in our world. And when we ask to be with Jesus when he comes into his kingdom, this reign, one that we can see now through God's grace and our efforts and what we're doing for God, for others. The Taizé chant, "Jesus, remember me," comes from these words of the criminal who saw the reign of God breaking through in the most unlikely of places. The first time I'd really thought about that chant and maybe heard these words in a focused way happened in 1992. I had just started going to the Episcopal Church, which was my first church experience of my life, and was preparing to be baptized on November 1st. I was meeting with the Episcopal chaplain to the University of Virginia. I will never forget this scene, and it came back to me so clearly as I was preparing for this sermon, so I thought I'd share it with you. We were in the food court at Newcomb Hall. Okay, who's been there? I don't even know if it's still there. But you know what that's like, okay? It's very UVA. I mean, there's a lot going on, a lot of talking, a lot of studying, a lot of books, people. So we're there, and Wayne, who was the chaplain, he's talking to me about these Wednesday night services they were having at our church and the Taizé chants they were singing, and he just starts singing out loud, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." You should have seen the look on my face. I was looking around wondering if anybody could hear him. And I don't know, now that just speaks to me about God breaking in to any situation when we least expect it. It was a little embarrassing at the time. I was just getting used to all this Jesus stuff. And what was he doing singing that right then? But I was looking for something, you know? I was looking for something that the world was not giving me. John Deere has written a book entitled The Questions of Jesus, challenging ourselves to discover life's great answers. John Deere, I've mentioned him before, the Jesuit priest known for his work in peace and justice matters. The first question of Jesus, and he's looking at John's gospel, the first question Deere considers is, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? And Deere goes on to state, the first question Jesus asks is a question rooted in compassion and love, calling upon our deepest desires, the best within us. It is a question full of hope. Jesus on the cross was kind of like a question mark, a question to be answered. Asking those around, and still, around at the time and still, what are you looking for? As members of this church, a one church, on this day of supporting the Millennium Development Goals, we collectively could say that we're looking for a way to feed the hungry in our world. As a church, we continue to hear Jesus ask us, what are you looking for? And in our personal prayer time, we can hear Christ ask each one of us the same question. What are you looking for from God, from the world, from your relationships, from your life? How can God be a part of that? What are you looking for? How will we answer that today, tomorrow, months from now? John Deere states that our deepest desires hold great power. If we can name them, unleash their goodness, and channel those desires toward God, then our lives will be transformed. And if we dare say that we are looking for Christ, that we want to be with Him, that we want to follow Him, Deere tells us we can trust that Jesus will invite us to join Him on His journey and lead us to where He lives. Where does Christ live for us now? How can we commune with Christ outside of these walls? Where do we see the reign of Christ? Where and with whom do we see the path which enables us to journey with Jesus? Certainly the reign of Christ, which we celebrate and which we claim has true power in this world, is a reign where all have food to eat. We are going to sing today the Tezé chant, Jesus, remember me, when you come into your kingdom, at the presentation, and when the offering plates and the food for those in need is being brought forward. As we sing it, I'd like to suggest that we are, in fact, presenting ourselves to Jesus as well, that we are offering ourselves to be part of God's reign, now and forever. Amen.